The reading is from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, if you've seen, seen the movie The Lion King, basically the story, you have young Simba, the heir apparent to the throne, and his father Mufasa, the powerful lion with the wonderful voice of James Earl Jones, and Simba is tricked into being party to, or what he believes to be party to, his father's death. And he feels terrible. And he runs away. And he spends years away from his family. And finally, his father appears to him in the clouds and says, "Remember who you are." He's the child of the king. He's the heir to the throne. And what he's done isn't the point. The point is who he is. Well, 4 years ago, I was forced to resign from the ministry due to a conflict of values in the congregation. It wasn't that I'd committed any great sin or heresy. It was just a matter of a difference in values, and it was going to divide the congregation. And for the sake of the congregation, to hopefully provide unity for them and to keep them from just destroying the congregation, I walked away. And so for the first time in 22 years, I was no longer a pastor. And so I went home and I told my kids. And I said, "You need to understand, I'm still a child of God. And that's what's important. That's what matters most. I'm still mommy's husband. I'm still your daddy." Right? Those things are way more important than any job, no matter what that job is. And those will always be true. And no one can ever change that. And even though I knew that all of that was true, I felt like a complete worthless failure. And that became my new self-definition. And even though my family was behind me, they supported me, they said, "You did the right thing. This shouldn't have happened to you." My friends, they all supported me, they were there for me. I'm so thankful that God brought those friends into my life at that time. The entire staff of the congregation supported me. and countless people from that congregation supported me, contacted me, reached out to me, told me how sad they were that I was leaving, how much they missed me. And yet, with all of those voices, I could hear them, but it didn't sink in. Because I couldn't hear them over the voice in my own head telling me, God gave you all these gifts, and now they're going to be wasted. You were a bad investment for God. And now your whole life is just a waste. And I knew that that was wrong. But there's a big chasm between the head and the heart. And I just couldn't shake that feeling. So maybe you felt like that sometimes. Maybe you've experienced some other form of depression. Or maybe you've had that kind of feeling of just not being worthwhile or something like that from time to time. So often we define our worth based on our actions. Quite often in our culture, it's by our career. It's your income, how much money you're bringing in. Or how many abbreviations you have before or after your name, or the lack thereof. Or if you're a parent, it can be by your children's success, or by the way that they behave in public. Or if you're a student, what kind of grades you get, what kind of schools accept you. Or based on some kind of skill, a vocational skill, or an academic skill, or how good you are at certain sports. How you look. How you measure up to some social or societal standard. Or maybe it's based on something that happened to you. And you find yourself defining your worth, your value, your identity based on that experience. Now, you're probably going, hold on a minute, Pastor Dale. Isn't this supposed to be about praise and adoration and stuff like that? This is kind of dark here, aren't we? All right? And maybe it seems like we can't get there from here. Maybe there's some here, though, or maybe you know someone that has felt that way. And bridging that gap between the hardest times in our lives to times of praise and joy, well, that's God's specialty. So often we fall into that same trap as Simba, that we feel like we're not good enough for whatever it is. But God tells us through the psalmist, through Psalm 146 that we just heard read, to paraphrase, remember who you are. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. You see, when we declare who we are, when we decide who we are and determine our own identity, then we are trusting in, as the psalmist says, a son of man who cannot save. Because we're trusting in ourselves. And we're denying who we are. Because God tells us who, through the psalmist, that we are the rescued exploited. We are the fed hungry. We are the freed prisoner. We are the seeing blind. We are the raised oppressed. And yes, even though it can be so hard to see, we are the beloved righteous. And when you don't believe what God says, then it's hard to praise Him with your whole heart. You can sing hallelujah all day long, but it can feel hollow. You might even feel unworthy to speak His name or to talk to Him like He's got more important people. But your worth doesn't come from your deeds. What you've done, what you haven't done. Only your Maker and Redeemer is worthy to determine your worth. And that comes from the blood of Christ that was poured out for you on the cross. That is where God appraised your permanent worth. He said, this is how much you are worth. If I had loved one time I was doing a children's message and I asked the kids, okay, you know, you are worth whatever someone is willing to pay for you. What are you worth? What is God willing to pay for you? And one of them said, a whole Jesus. I said, yeah, that's exactly right. I've never heard it said better. You are worth a whole Jesus. Because that's what God was willing to pay for you. That He desired you so deeply that He sent His Son to suffer and die for you. He demonstrated how valuable you are. He demonstrated the deepest love that is worthy of the highest praise. And so when you encounter the righteousness of God, it's not the terrifying, condemning judge. He's the personification and epitome of love. And so, as we heard in the gospel lesson, when we pray, we can go to God and say, Our Father, and see Him, see God, like the child who when daddy comes home and the child runs to daddy giggling and says, Daddy's here, lifting up our arms in praise, in anticipation, and to be picked up or tickled, to put all of our trust in Him and rejoice in His presence and know that no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, it's all okay because Daddy's here. Not with judgment or guilt, because that's not who you are. That's not how He sees you. That is not how He defines you. You're a child of the King. And He's promised you a throne. A number of years ago, my daughter Chloe, who's now 14, she's at home with mom today. She was still learning about relationships. It was quite a few years ago when my oldest daughter, Kimberly, got married. And Chloe said that Grant, her husband, Grant is Kimberly's daddy now. I said, No, he's her husband. And she said, no, he's her daddy. I said, no, I will always be her daddy. He's her husband. Nope, he's her daddy. I said, Chloe, why do you think that Grant is Kimberly's daddy? She said, because he loves her so much, and he will always take care of her, and he will never let her go. I said, oh, is that what daddies do? She said, yeah. It was hard to argue with that. So whether you're using daddy or bridegroom imagery, that's what God does for us. He has no desire to condemn you, only for you to know his love and to experience that love in all the different ways that he gives it. To fill your heart with his love until it just spills out in alleluias like an overfilled water balloon. Until you just can't help but lift your hands and dance. In our Acts lesson that we heard read this morning, we have Paul and Silas, who, they did the right thing, right? They rescued this girl who was being trafficked. They freed her from a demonic possession. And they ended up getting beaten with rods and imprisoned. And prisons back then were not. I mean, prisons now are not great. Prisons back then were awful. And yet, here we find them praying and singing. Because they knew who they were. They knew that God was with them. Daddy's here. They knew that whatever anyone could do to them, whatever their circumstances were, they knew who they were, and that was greater than any circumstances they could experience. So no matter what your situation, past or present, his faithfulness assures you that you can count on his love, that he will love you and save you. And so when we call on our Father, as Jesus taught us to pray, we're acknowledging and seeking his holiness to bring it into our lives and rejecting the lies of Satan that say that we somehow have no value. I mean, that's just a straight up lie. And we're asking God, transform us so that we reflect who we truly are. You know, even when I look at my successes, I find that so much of it has just been handed to me by God. At that church that I was at before, our youth group was growing and growing. Why? Because one of my kids started inviting friends. And then those friends invited their friends, and those friends invited their friends. All we did was love them. And so I worried when I came here, well, I'm not going to have that kid along with me. And so I came here to start missionary work in Leadville. God, how are we going to do this? I mean, I had all kinds of ideas, but so much of it depended on things needing to fall into place. And I went to the library with my wife because I heard that they had a Dungeons and Dragons group for teens. And my daughter, Katie, that's probably introduced herself to all of you this morning, loves playing Dungeons and Dragons. And so we went and talked to the librarian that runs it and said, hey, she's going to need a little help. Is this going to be a group that's welcoming to her? And he assured me that it was. And we got talking and he heard about my background and my experience. And he said, you know, would you be interested in leading that group? Yeah, I'd love to. It was just handed to me. And looking for a part-time job because that's part of my call. And I got on ZipRecruiter and Indeed and all those places, and I sent resumes to anywhere I could find that was kind of remotely close to what would kind of fit with my goals. Never even heard back from any of those places. And I was praying and thanking God for the opportunities that He had given me so far. And I said, but God, my next step is I need to find that job. And so far, come up with nothing. And I sat down and pulled up my phone and started doom scrolling through Facebook. And candy store in Leadville, hiring days. Oh, cool. How fun would that be? And what a fantastic opportunity to connect with the people of the community. It's right downtown. I sent her my resume. And tomorrow night I go fill out the paperwork so that I can start working there. Just all the things that I tried didn't work. But God said, here you go. And it's easy to look at those sorts of accomplishments that don't even feel like accomplishments because it was all God doing it. And to have those voices start saying, well, see, you're worthless. You'd be nothing without God doing all of it. But does that really make you worthless? Because any accomplishments that you've had, whether it was due to what looks like just bizarre coincidences or something that was just kind of handed to you, if God chose to accomplish His plans in the world and said, hey, I want you to be a part of this, that means that He chose to honor you. He said, this is how valuable you are to me, that I want you to do this with me. He chose you because of who He made you to be, who He declared you to be, right? I love doing stuff with my kids. I love that group that I get to go and do my job as a missionary. I get to do with those two girls that you met this morning. They're going to be there playing. And so I get to spend time with them while I'm doing that. Well, guess what? God likes to spend time with you while He's doing the things that He's doing because He loves you. Because He declared you worthy and righteous on the cross. He sealed that righteousness in you through your baptism. He said, "You, I've called you by name, you are mine." And the name that He called you by is His own name. And when you feel like, yeah, but God, I can tell you there is no point arguing with Him. I've tried many times. He's always right. So when you recognize the love by which God identifies us, then we can recognize that same love for those around us. And if you somehow still feel like you're just less lovable, but you know that God still loves you, then you understand how He loves your neighbor. How He loves even that person that maybe disagrees with you politically, that person who lives differently than you or sees the world differently than you or whatever it is. That was one thing about that group of kids we had, kids in that youth group that came from all different backgrounds, had all kinds of struggles at home and mental illness and neurodiversity and you name it. And someone new would come in, and everyone would always welcome them because everyone had the attitude that, well, if I'm accepted here, then we have to accept them too. And that's what God does for us and offers us that same opportunity. God's name is hallowed, is honored when His loving presence flows from us into the lives of others. So as we praise God for this amazing love that He has given to us, those around us come to know who He is and thus who they truly are, so that they too can lift up their hands in joy and say, "Daddy's here." Please pray with me. Lord God, so often our praise is stifled by fear because we trust ourselves instead of You alone. Give us renewed confidence in Your faithfulness, that our every thought, our every action may be an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal.